I'm Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery, and it is a true pleasure to be able to interview Sandy today. Welcome, Sandy.
Oh, hi, Robert. Good to talk to you again.
What I want to do is really just ask you some about your Parkinson's, about the symptoms and some of the struggles you've had with Parkinson's. In particular, are you taking traditional medications?
Well, I guess I'm taking a half a traditional medication. I tried Mucuna Pruriens and didn't get much, if any, result from taking the dosage by itself. My neurologist suggested that it might be more effective if I took carbidopa, or Lotusin is the official prescription name, along with it, because that would assist it in getting past the brain barrier. Now, Lotusin is a prescription medication, and it's one of the two ingredients in Sinemet, which is the most common treatment for Parkinson's by the medical profession. It's used in Sinemet with the synthetic dopamine as opposed to the natural as one gets with Mucuna Pruriens.
So you now take both today?
Yes.
And in what doses?
Well, I take one 25 milligram capsule of Lotusin, and I'm taking 2 teaspoons of Mucuna powder 3 times a day. I take it about a half an hour to 45 minutes before each meal.
Do you also take other supplements or herbs or vitamins?
Yeah, I take a multivitamin. I'm taking a mineral supplement right now because I'm going through chelation. I've got elevated levels of mercury and lead. I also take a supplement that's vitamins A, C, E, zinc, and copper, and that's in second stage trial as a not a preventive, but really something to slow down the progression of macular degeneration, which I also have in one of my eyes. Let's see, I also take creatine, which is NIH is running a study on that as a something to slow the progression of Parkinson's. And also coenzyme Q10, which similarly is being tested in a second phase trial to see if it slows down the progression of PD.
What symptoms do you have?
Well, I think that the symptoms I had mostly, I have a tremor in my right hand. I have a bit of a tremor in my left leg, and the thing that was bothering me most, I think, which caused me to start taking any medication, was I became really, really slow and clumsy, and my coordination was poor, and my posture was terrible. And as my wife said, I ate with my nose on the plate. And I was extremely frustrated by the slowness that my movements were so slow, and I was staying active, but it was just take me forever. It would take me most of an hour to shave, shower, and get dressed. That's when I started taking the Mucuna, and then ultimately the Mucuna with the Lotusin, which has been very effective. I'm much, much faster. I'm not racing my 9-year-old grandson in any races yet, but I'm a lot faster than I was. And my manual dexterity has improved dramatically. My balance is better. I'm more comfortable driving. You know, really, just about every aspect that what was bothering me is dramatically improved.
What are some of the other things that you do that help you feel better?
Well, I think my mantra is exercise. I work out 4 days a week, about an hour and a half, and then I do Tai Chi and yoga and Pilates. And on the days that I'm not doing a workout, I try to walk at least a mile or two. And I think this helps. This plus not giving up any activities. In other words, stay active and act as if you're completely normal. I've got a friend who, when she works out, she says, "I feel like I'm normal when I'm working out." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And the more you can do to maintain everything that you've been doing, I think it helps you both physically and equally important emotionally.
When you work out, do you do weights?
Yeah, I divide it. Every day I do aerobics, typically exercise bike or the ellipticals, and then I do weights, concentrating on the upper body or weighting, you know, machines available in the gym. I alternate days between upper body and lower body.
Have you always been an exerciser?
Yes, I have been, and I think that's important in that it makes it a lot easier for me to do that. I know I'm almost 75, and I think if I hadn't exercised all my life, and I see people who have contracted TB or have developed the symptoms who haven't worked out all their life, and it's very difficult for someone to start, let's say, late in life. So it's an advantage, I think, that I've always exercised, so it's pretty easy for me to continue doing so.
So you've really been able to continue doing all the kinds of things that you always have done without really much interruption.
Yeah, that's true. Again, I'm a little slower, but I haven't had to give up any activity at all.
There are, I'm sure, modalities and therapies and approaches that you've tried since you've had Parkinson's that really did not offer much help. Could you talk about those?
Yeah, the main thing that I tried, and I tend toward not doing things that are just going to make you feel better for a little while. I do some of that, but in other words, I'm not willing to go and have acupuncture or massages because it's just going to be temporary relief. But when I read about something that's possibly a dramatic improvement, that perked up my interest. And one thing I read about a couple of years ago now, I guess, was PAS, which is para-aminosalicylic acid. And it's a treatment for tuberculosis, which fortunately in this country isn't have to be utilized very often. But it's a specialized sort of a drug. And I read about a study of people that had manganese-induced Parkinson's. They interviewed people 17 years after their original look at these folks, and this one person was completely cured of all the symptoms. And it turned out she'd had a treatment for with this PAS, and so I thought I'd try it, and my neurologist agreed it was a legitimate study and it was worth a try. It wouldn't hurt me, and so I did it for about nearly 6 months. And at first I thought I was going to see some dramatic results. One strange thing that happened was that my sense of smell came back, which had been gone completely, and it hasn't. It's sort of selective. I don't have complete sense of smell, but a number of things, I have much better capability for smelling than I did before. And that, incidentally, has continued, even though I did give up the PAS because I wasn't getting any other symptomatic relief. That's about the only thing I've tried, I guess, that hasn't worked. And I suppose you might say it's some result, although I can't say that my lack of smell was the most debilitating symptom I had.
And what about other approaches, therapies, modalities that you've tried that have offered some relief and have helped you feel better?
I enjoy music and always have, and, that makes me feel better. I think, again, doing anything that gets your mind off your condition is helpful. For instance, nothing makes me feel better than to have a laughing session with my grandson over a game of some sort. He's a lot of fun, and we end up always having a lot of laughter. And anything that makes you laugh is good. I enjoy going to the movies and shows, going to a musical tonight, as a matter of fact, in Portland. I'm looking forward to that because I think you get a bang out of anything that's musical and uplifting and funny. You know, laughing is good therapy. And I remember reading Norman Cousins' book about curing himself of, I don't remember the exact disease, but it was considered to be incurable, and he ended up being cured, and his main treatment was locking us up in a hotel room for weeks, watching funny movies all day long. And I've considered that, but I haven't gotten that far.
You haven't needed to do that yet.
Well, it would be fun, but I haven't tried it yet. Mm.
You earlier mentioned chelation. Could you say more about who's helping you out with that?
Yeah, a naturopath, naturally. A gentleman who's teaches at the medical school. He teaches nutrition at the medical school. I was referred to him by another naturopath from the medical school. And, you know, no one knows exactly how much mercury is too much, but we keep hearing that mercury and lead both are not good for you. And again, no one knows exactly how much is okay or how much is too much, but I decided it was worth getting tested, and I came out with almost double the amount of lead and almost triple the amount of mercury. That's more than average, double or triple average. And so I thought, well, it won't do any harm to see if I can get that out of my system and see if it makes a difference. So far, I haven't had much. Oh, I think I've had 7 treatments. I get them every 2 weeks. And it really hasn't reduced the levels much. And I'm told one may have to have as many as 30 sessions before you get results. But I'm going to give it a whirl. I can't think that it will harm me, and it might be helpful. Though I know at least one person who has gone through all that and reduced the levels and apparently didn't have any impact on their Parkinson's. But we seem to all be different, and you never know. So if there's a chance, I'll take a shot at it.
When you say they tested you, was this with saliva or blood, or how did the test actually work?
Well, it's a urine test. They give you a something that causes the minerals to come out of your tissues and end up in your urine, and that gives them an indication as to how much you have in your tissue.
And then the treatments, could you explain to people a bit about what the treatments are like? Do they give you IVs or shots, or what really happens?
Well, I guess there are other alternatives, but the most effective apparently is they give you an intravenous load of, it's basically extra of the good minerals, and then they follow that with what they call a push, just an injection that causes your tissues to give up minerals, and they come out through your urine. And the idea is that you supplement yourself with the good minerals that you need, and then when what comes out hopefully will be mostly the bad guys.
I see.
The mercury, the heavy metals.
So you basically get injections when you go to the treatments.
That's correct.
Many people believe that once you begin to have the symptoms of Parkinson's, you're always going to get worse and feel worse. But from what you've described, it sounds like that really hasn't happened for you. Is that right?
I think that's true, yeah. After I started the Mercuna with the carbidopa, I mentioned my overall speed improved. And for instance, on the exercise machines, both the exercise bike and the ellipticals, my times and speeds were 2 or 3 years, as good as they were 2 or 3 years ago.
How long have you had Parkinson's?
Well, I was diagnosed almost 4 years ago. It was November of 2004. I realized in retrospect that I was aware of 1 or 2 years before that of what I now realize were symptoms, not to mention the typical problems with sense of smell, which probably was 30 years ago. I always attributed that. I thought that was just because I had allergies, but obviously it was more than that.
Is there any approachable or modality or therapy that you regret trying?
No, I can't say so. Can't say that.
For people who are newly diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's, what would you say to them?
Well, I think it's most important, don't act as if you have a disease. In other words, continue to do all the activities you enjoy or want to do or have to do. And even if you're a little slower, even if you're not as good at it, I still play a little golf, which is, I never was good and I'm worse now, but, you know, just keep doing it. Just keep acting, feeling, or living up a normal life, and I think that'll help you both physically and emotionally. And I think the emotional part is real important. Attitude comes from that, and sort of reinforces the idea of you're normal and just keep being normal.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make sure and mention?
No, I think we've covered it, at least from my point of view. Again, we're all different, but keep being normal and keep active.
So you do know other people who have the symptoms of Parkinson's, and what I understand you're saying is that everybody is different and people do respond differently to the different therapies.
Correct.
And so it's really for you a question of exploring and experimenting and finding what really works for you.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's part of being in control, too. I think the people I see doing most poorly are those that just put themselves in the hands of the physician and say, you know, it's up to him to give me some drug that's going to make me better, and if it doesn't work, then that's it. I don't have a chance, and they just go downhill. So I think it's important to maintain control in your life and of your treatment.
You describe a very disciplined exercise program. How do you stick with it?
They have to be obsessive compulsive, I guess. I don't know. I guess you do what's important to you and what seems to work. And it's always been important to me to be active. And I would say, too, incidentally, in terms of all of the weights and things like that, I can do as much as I ever could do. I haven't lost any strength in my legs or my... And I actually been working more on my upper body over the years since I've had rotator cuff problems and other situations that caused me to do that. And so I'm doing more with my arms, and I have more upper body strength than I had 40 years ago.
So how much do you lift now? How much weight?
Well, I don't do the standard, weightlifting like in the Olympics. I do 12 pounds, but I'm doing hand weights. I do mostly using the machines for the triceps, pulling down weights that are on a pulley. I guess I do 50 pounds there. I started with 15 about less than a year ago, I guess, and just kind of worked my way up.
Is this pretty much your own individually created exercise routine, or did you take a lot of what you do from a book or a program?
Well, a lot of the exercises I do, I mentioned the rotator cuff problems, were through a physical therapist suggesting them to offset the impact of the deterioration in the shoulders and the muscles in the shoulder. I had an assessment of my whole routine with the head of physical therapy at the med school, and she made some suggestions which were helpful. I did also have a consultation with a physical fitness person at our club. She was supportive, but she really had no experience at all with anyone with Parkinson's, and she was hesitant to make any suggestions of any sort. I think the important thing is, you know, just exercise every part of your body. and then do stretching and relaxing afterwards. And that's another thing I think sometimes one situation or another we get tense, you know, and the tremor is worse and all that type of thing. And I think most people have found if you find a way to relax yourself, you know, you can get relaxed by going to someone who's going to give you a massage, but, you know, you want to be able to do something yourself. And for me, it's just lying flat on the floor on a bed, spread eagle, and I can relax and the tremor stops, and I just feel great in, a couple of minutes.
Wow.
I think that's important, too, for some people have trouble sleeping, and I've been fortunate. I haven't had any trouble sleeping. I've always been someone who could physically relax rather readily.
When you notice that tension comes up, what happens if the choice, instead of doing the relaxing that you're able to do, your choice is to exercise? Does it relieve when you exercise?
Oh, yeah, that's true, too, yeah. Although I don't usually go to exercise, you know, because of feeling uptight. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes if it's a day when I'm not scheduled to exercise and I'm feeling that way, I say, I got to go for a walk. And I go out and go for a walk, and then I, you know, feel much better.
So when you wake up and, like everybody else, it's just a bad day, you're really not feeling well, is there a challenge for you to be able to do whatever exercise you want to do that day, or is it an encouragement?
Usually, I find it's better to just go ahead and do what you're scheduled to do, regardless of what it is, including exercise. Many, many days, I don't really feel like doing it, but once I get started, I feel better.
You feel better. So basically, you're following the schedule.
Yeah, but although I would say this too, if you're, you know when you're not feeling good for one reason or another, maybe an occasional time I didn't get a good night's sleep or stayed up too late the night before or something else, I might take a modified exercise routine. May not do quite as much. Instead of doing 30 minutes of aerobic, I'll only do 20, and maybe I'll do two-thirds of the reps on the routine. And that doesn't hurt anything.
So when you, over the many, 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 many days that you do your exercise routine, it sounds like you typically notice that you do feel better afterward than you felt before.
Oh, definitely, yeah.